Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
1, 2, 3, 4.
From WBEZ Chicago and PRX, this is Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. This week, we're going to bring you a brand new batch of buried treasures, new under-the-radar songs we can't live without.
Plus, Greg and I will resume our roles as the rock doctors, prescribing some new music to a patient trying to turn over a new leaf.
That's all coming up on Sound Opinions. You're listening to Sound Opinions, and later in the show, we're going to serve as the rock doctors to a patient looking for new music not tied to the substance use of his past. But first, it's time for another round of Buried Treasures.
Buried Treasures is one of our favorite periodic episodes, Greg. I don't know about you, but I collect stuff nonstop in between each taping of this Buried Treasures episode, introducing listeners to sounds that they probably haven't heard, that are way under the mainstream radar. I always love having a bounty of riches. What are you going to start us off with?
A lot of stuff in the last few weeks that has caught my ear, Jim. A band from Norway called Pom Poko, named after a Japanese animated fantasy film. And the title specifically refers to these characters in the movie. They are Japanese raccoon dogs who drum their own bellies. So they're like belly drummers, you know?
That's my kind of raccoon dog, yeah.
And, you know, the movies, I have not seen the movie. I'm taking the band's word for it. But apparently it's an extremely chaotic jumble of energy and adventure. And these raccoon dogs are really badass in this movie.
Yeah,
you know, they just loved them. They're these wonderful characters. So they said, you know, we're going to name our band after this. These are kind of, you'd think these are kind of, conservative people. They went to this music academy in Norway, and they're studying classical music and all this stuff. But they decided to form this band instead, a quartet, a co-ed quartet, with a wide range of influences. So there's sort of an intellectual veneer here. You know, they've studied West African music as well as noise bands, you know. So they're bringing all these elements into the music. What they've come up with is a debut album after a year and a half of working together. It's called Birthday. And what I'm hearing is a sort of an angular version of pop punk. Mm. There's melodies here. There's that punk energy. But there's sort of a skewed quality to it. The melodies are a little bit off-center. The time signatures and the keys in the songs sort of jump around. So there's sort of an art pop approach toward these punkish melodies. Here is Day Tripper from Pom Poko on Sound Opinions.
Make it.
That is Greg's first buried treasure pick, Pom Poko Day Tripper. Gonzo stuff, Greg, all over the map. I think that's actually one of the recurring themes in my buried treasures picks this week, people defying genre expectations. Stephanie Christian is a female singer, songwriter, multi-talented woman from Detroit, born and raised there, first broached the music scene as frontwoman of a rock band, a funky rock band called Flux Phonic. Hit my radar because Dream Hampton was touting her on Facebook. I said, okay, I'm going to check this out. And man, I was blown away. You know, Facebook has those stupid, reductive things I like, my influences, you know, you can put like three. And Stephanie Christian said Tina Turner, Rage Against the Machine, and Alanis Morissette. And I said, okay, this is a prank, right? But there is this intense element of rock. Elsewhere in her bio materials, I've seen her say, trying to imagine if Sam Cooke and Kurt Cobain were one and the same. And there is this element of deep Detroit soul, funk, that Motor City groove, soulfulness. She sang recently at a tribute to Aretha Franklin in her native city. And then there's this rock edge. I think you'll hear right away what I mean. This is a song called Limbo. Stephanie Christian has a new album called It's Complicated. And the music is but joyful.
Trying to make you see that I'm slowly dying, and it's you, and it's you that's killing me.
Stephanie Christian. I'm saying that, Greg, because it's C-H-R-I-S-T-I, apostrophe A-N. Mm-hmm. Song is called Limbo.
Yeah, that epic orchestration on that track was kind of I wasn't expecting that.
No.
You know, those drums against that big, you know, swelling string section. It was kind of a surprise. It was kind of cool. I'm going, where is this going? And there's a ton of tracks on Spotify by her that are all... as you said, all over the map. It's an intriguing approach to music. You can't pigeonhole her.
And there's also, you know, a real activist mentality that she brings to her lyrics. It's politically woke and conscious music. I think it's really inspiring.
Well, I'm going to go from an accomplished lyricist like the artist you just played to one that has no lyrics at all. I'm going to be talking about Delvon Lamar, the Delvon Lamar Organ Trio, to be specific. Delvon is a scene regular in Seattle. I love this story. This guy's around 40-ish right now. He's been playing in clubs in Seattle when he was a kid, basically sneaking into clubs, gigging with bands underage. He couldn't technically be there, but they let him in because he was one of the guys in the band. And he was playing drums. He was playing trumpet. Ended up on Hammond B3 organ. He was one of those kids who could pick up any instrument and make a sound on it and make music on it. He would watch somebody more accomplished than him play that instrument, and then he would just mimic them, and lo and behold, he'd come up with his own thing. So a real talent. And meanwhile, he's working these day jobs. He's playing gigs 6-7 nights a week in Seattle, he was telling me, and working at Comcast or working a forklift, you know, doing this day job thing. And, you know, thinking by the time, you know, he's done this for like 2 decades, and he's thinking, this isn't going anywhere, you know. I'm just going to be the local hero for the rest of my life. And he started, you know, he would complain to his wife, and his wife finally got tired of him complaining and basically said, listen, I'll manage you. You just play. I'll do the rest. And he goes, really? You'll help me? You know, and she did. And now, in the last 2 years, this guy's gone from a local act in Seattle to a guy who's toured the world several times. He's been through Europe, playing multiple shows. He says, I've been to Paris 5 times, you know? It's one of those kind of deals.
Old hat.
Like, wow, cool. And I listened to the music, and I thought, you know, this is terrific stuff. If you're into things like Jimmy Smith, you know, that organ sound, mm-hmm. this great jazz musician, or something like Booker T. Jones and Booker T. and the MGs, you know, that sound is going to appeal here with this band. They combine elements of funk. They combine elements of soul. They've got an audience now in the jam band scene because their songs are basically vehicles, loosely arranged songs that allow for a lot of improvisation. Sometimes they'll meld 6 or 7 songs into a tune and build around it. So they have a lot of jazz chops, as they say. The track I want to play is Tacoma Black Party from their most recent album, which is called Live at KEXP on Sound Opinions. Tacoma Black Party from Delvon Lamar Organ Trio on Sound Opinions.
Well, I got your number, Cot. You are just the sucker for the Hammond B3. But who isn't? You know, I mean, there's a whole lot of Booker T in what I'm hearing. And that is not a bad thing, because who else besides Booker T's ever pulled that
off? Yeah, I'm there if this guy's coming to town. That's a great trio.
And it was a great story. As you know, I am a believer in music as community. You know, I have this band. We only play punk rock dives, you know, capacity ideally about 25, you know, because we might draw 20 people. Last time we did this Buried Treasures episode, we had a guest, Tariq Moody, who is a DJ on Radio Milwaukee, our friends 90 minutes away where you mm-hmm. went to college. And I said, hey, man, do you ever go to Circle A? Mm-hmm. Right? It's this really tiny club that I love. It's such a hole in the ground, I say with great affection. And so my band was playing there. And, you know, this guy comes up afterwards. He says, you need to have this 45. Mm-hmm. You need this. You're going to love this. I want to give this to you. He's not in the band. He's just a listener of the radio show who loves this band. It's by a group called Supersonic Space Rebels. It is a trio, 2 women and 1 man from Chicago, actually. It's just they had this Milwaukee super fan that is, again, that wonderfully reductive Facebook self-description as opposed to the dreaded algorithms generated by like an iTunes. If you like this, you'll like that. No. They said to do Debbie Harry fronting the Cramps, possessed by Dracula. And that is a really good description. There's a punk rock ferocity, but also a rockabilly swing mm-hmm. at times. There are kind of distorted vocals on some of the songs, like that great. Remember when Lux Interior would put the microphone all the way down his throat and do the vocals there? Or Gibby Haynes and the Butthole Surfers with the megaphone into the mic. It's just ferocious, tear it up, you know, 2-minute rock that I just love to pieces. Apparently, they're working on a full album. This is a track called Watch You Burn from 2017 by Supersonic Space Rebels on Sound Opinions. Supersonic Space Rebels on Sound Opinions.
You know, a little bit of surf, a little bit of psychobilly,
yeah.
You know, some deranged vocals. What's not to love?
Same thing, same thing. You know, you can't go wrong with little Booker T and the MGs. You can't go wrong with surferbilly, psychobilly punk. It's just great stuff. If you've got an album that you say we need to hear, call and leave a message on our hotline, 888-859-1800, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. After a break, Greg and I will dig up some more buried treasures. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know when you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island. So we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot with Jim DeRogatis, and we're going through some of our recent favorite records that haven't gotten as much attention as we think they should. I've been doing a little bit of a Seattle vibe today. I talked about the Delvon Lamar Organ Trio in the last segment from Seattle, and now I've got another new Seattle group, Tourist Activities, to talk about.
Now, this is no fair because your sister and brother-in-law live there.
I'm telling
you. And they give the pipeline to the buried treasure.
Well, they
pipeline.
Definitely knew about Delvon Lamar. I'm not sure they knew about Tourist Activities because they are fresh on the block. They've just got a 6-song EP out, but they actually have been working on music for a number of years. The lead singer and songwriter, Bailey Melton, she's been working with Kel Jacobson, the lead guitar player in the group, as a duo for a number of years. And they put out a demo online a few years ago, fleshed out the group with a bassist and drummer, and now have been playing as a quartet in Seattle and the region. They just put out their first EP, Off My Mind. You know, they've gone from this sort of lo-fi bedroom project into a full-blown band. And again, what I love about this, the 6 songs show an incredible variety and range. It's not, there's a little bit of jangle in there. There's a little bit of avant-garde touches in there. There's some grunge in there. Remember the G word from Seattle? They're honoring their roots being from the Pacific Northwest. So there's a little bit of that as well spread out over these 6 songs. But the key here, again, is Bailey Melton as the vocalist and songwriter in the band. Very promising start to their career with this Off My Mind EP. And here's a song from it, Crystal River, from Tourist Activities on Sound Opinions. Tourist Activities with a song called Crystal River from their Off My Mind EP, one of my buried treasures.
I hear the Seattle there, Greg, and it is fun stuff. I think I'm going to blow your mind with this next pick. Jenny Tolman. You know, I have an aversion, a knee-jerk aversion to mainstream Nashville country music, all right? The overproduced stuff, right? But I've been on a real Dolly Parton kick lately, and I realize it's really only, like, starting in the 80s that Nashville started, the mainstream Nashville.
Yeah, the country-politan
stuff. Overproduction, right? Yeah. I mean, I just hate when they take all the country grit out.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you go back to some of those really highly produced 70s singles, you know, Dolly Parton, even Kenny Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was still country soul and pop production.
Yeah, Bobby Gentry.
I think what Bobby Gentry. I think what Jenny Tolman is doing is right up that alley, and she cites at age 23, she cites as two of her favorite country artists, Dolly Parton and Roger Miller,
mm-hmm.
right? Because she loves the storytelling element. And in a lot of ways, this is a very conventional sort of Nashville mainstream sound until you listen mm-hmm. to what Jenny Tolman is singing in that wonderfully smoky 3:30 in the morning, last call voice. She is a storyteller par excellence. She has an album coming out called There Goes the Neighborhood in July. But she's been releasing singles sort of one by one on Spotify. This song, High Class White Trash, is you know, a little novelette, novella of a resident of a mobile home parks in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll quote the lyric. She is giving advice for the sort of women who permeate the beauty pageant culture of the South.
Yeah.
Show a little leg and you got them by the blank. All it takes to be a beauty queen is a coffee can full of cash. I just love that. I mean, that is like one of my favorite lyrics of the year so far. I love her twisted sense of humor, and it is in every one of her songs that I've heard so far. But this one's called High Class White Trash by Jenny Tolman, 23 years old from Nashville.
Nothing like a sample of perfume at the bottom of a purse to cover up the palm all reeking from a shirt, or a little Bloody Mary for a head full of hurt. Nothing like a fresh coat of lipstick painted on bright. You can say the kind that mama wouldn't like, even makes a potty mouth seem ladylike.
High Class White Trash by Jenny Tolman. Tell me you loved it.
That is my favorite buried treasure of yours today, Jim. That is
thank you. It's great.
What I liked about with that sort of understated boozy vibe that she had, it was kind of, you know what reminded me of, like a female Tony Jo White.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
You know, and it just had that simmering kind of summery vibe, like it's kind of, you know, it's really humid out. You know, the crickets, you know.
But you see what I'm saying about Dolly Parton, right?
Yeah.
It's like everybody wants to, like, sidle up to her at the bar.
Yeah, it's very down-home, but it's also funny.
Yes.
And it's not in your face. It almost sneaks up on you how good that song is.
Thank you. I did something right. How about that?
I'm telling you. I'm going to go to South Africa for my final buried treasure of the segment, Jim. A young artist, Eugen Blackrock, she was featured on the Black Panther soundtrack. I remember we reviewed the soundtrack.
A phenomenal soundtrack.
To me, as much, you know, Kendrick Lamar's involvement obviously gave it a spotlight. But what I thought Kendrick did that was so brilliant on that record was bringing these new artists into the project. It wasn't just the name artists that you know, helped make that soundtrack so good. It was these up-and-comers, and Eugen Blackrock was one of them. That got people to pay attention to her, and now she's capitalizing with her second album called Anima Mysterium. She's not dumbing down anything for a new commercial audience. In fact, if anything, she's picking up the Kendrick vibe in terms of the Afrofuturism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of references to Egyptian mythology and cosmic references, science fiction references. You know, she is a chip off the old Afrofuturistic block, if I might say.
Janelle Monáe.
And very dense wordplay combined with that Dusty's vibe on the production. That's an intoxicating sound for me. And I think she's a brilliant, brilliant MC that's fully living up to the opportunity that Lamar gave her on the Black Panther soundtrack and made an album that I think is a real contender for one of the best albums I've heard so far this year. Here is Eugen Blackrock with a song called Picture Box from the Anima Mysterium album on Sound Opinions.
Conspiring in secrecy, my ghouls drag chains and exchange theories on other spooks and black books. Sad souls known to grab noose and hang loose. They hypnotized by the tube, horrific daily news. Ears ringing from eerie noises, empty vessels make the loudest. TV hosts invading living rooms like haunted houses. Spewing words without content, spoken out of context. I breathe deep and inhale the sweet perfume of the dead. The ghosts that haunt my spirit hide in mist and early showers. To purify the self, I throw my fears in burning fires. Desperate times call desperate measures. But situations dire, tower over furnaces unburnt and demons cower. But the world spins or it seems to rush the heavens, wonder if the gods and us could be equals. Stars circle the planet that follow us to the Kaaba. Universal in breath directs the flow of prana. Unfolding cosmic sagas in the gallows, where my shadow reigns supreme. Diana with a bow, the protectress of all thieves. Steel beating hearts from chests and leave static on the screen. I live in frequencies where strange schools of sorcery meet. Turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off. Let the rhythm bring peace to your bubbling heart. Find that inner space of night, the most cosmic of sparks. The firefly that shines like the sun and lights up the dark. Turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off. Let the rhythm bring peace to your bubbling heart.
That is Eugen Blackrock with Picture Box, one of my buried treasures.
I just love it. I love its ambition. I love its space rock, Afrofuturism vibe. Great, great stuff, Greg. And while we are in outer space, my last buried treasure pick. So, you know, buried treasures do not have to be young, up-and-coming artists that, you know, nobody's heard of in our definition. Often it can be an artist who just kind of flies under the radar, deep in the underground, consistently excellent. And certainly this solo album, the newest by Brant Bjork, qualifies. Brant Bjork is the godfather, the looming tower of desert rock, stoner rock, you know, drumming. What he brought to one of the cornerstone bands of that whole movement, Caius, you know, in terms of his hard hitting, and I mean as hard as Dave Grohl in Nirvana, but also jazzy fluidity. Right, he's a multi-instrumentalist, percussive tones, different tones, and a sort of ever-streaming, ever-flowing jazz, really, vibe. You know, but his new solo album, which is going to be called Jacuzzi, J-A-C-O-O-Z-Z-I, is him going in a funk direction. I've interviewed Brant a number of times, and he's just a brilliant fellow. He wanted to take, he said, rock and roll, combining it with the black music he always loved growing up, listening to, the more funk-oriented, soul-oriented stuff. We've always heard the jazz in the drumming he brought to Caius or Fu Manchu or some of those desert rock sessions, but I've never heard him do funk. And I'm, you know, A, it's a solo album by a drummer who I love. B, you know, the idea of combining somehow the desert rock, psychedelic, stoner, doom vibe with funk. Bring it. Here is a song called Gorilla Funk by Brant Bjork on Sound Opinions. Gorilla Funk, and that's gorilla as in the soldier who slips in under the barbed wire. Brant Bjork.
You know, Jim, I have to say, of all the picks you had, this was the one I was looking most forward to, because I'd actually heard bits and pieces of this record. You know, it had been circulated to us. And I love Brant Bjork. I think he's a brilliant, brilliant drummer. But I got to say, this is the only one of your picks that was a letdown. I thought, wow, you know, Brant Bjork doing sort of a funk thing, cool.
Yeah.
But then it goes on, and I go, you know, yeah, he is a stoner rock sort of dude. I think there's a reason this album was lost. I feel like Brant was a little lost in the haze while he was making it, and the tape machine's running, and you're going, is this song going to make a little change here at some point? Is there going to be like a progression?
What do you need change for?
It's kind of groovy and hypnotic.
Caius had one groove.
And I imagine if the bong is nearby, you will enjoy this stuff. But you know what? I can't believe that, you know, a Caius guy didn't make a fantastic record. But hey, I'm just calling him the way I hear him. If you've got an album that's flying under the radar that everyone should hear, let us know. Don't just let me and Jim hog the spotlight here. Give us a call at 888-859-1800 or connect with us on Facebook or Twitter. Coming up, we're going to help out a listener looking for some musical healing. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot. He's Jim DeRogatis. And from time to time, we try to help a listener who's reached out for musical help in a segment we call The Rock Doctors. Today, we have Adam on the line. We'll hear what he's looking for, prescribe some songs, then check in with him after a week of treatment. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Adam, what is your problem? Take us from ground zero. Why are you coming to The Rock Doctors?
So I'm kind of at this point. I'm in my 40s. I've been through a lot, divorce and career change, a lot of good stuff, a lot of hard stuff. And I'm looking back on my life where I've spent a lot of my time dealing with childhood trauma in a way that just involved drinking or getting high, just doing things that numbed me out. I just was doing a lot of things to manage emotional pain. And I got to this point in my life where I decided, well, that's not working. And so I'd say the last 5 years especially, I've really done a lot of soul searching and work to become more aware of what I'm going through and less numbed out. And I sometimes feel like I may be on the edge of transformation, and other times I just feel like I'm stuck.
But that's what music is for, right, Adam? It's to get us over that hump. We all feel the way you felt.
It's true. Yeah, you know, I realize there's this universality to the feeling, but it's also so isolating at times. And a lot of the music I used to listen to would be music you'd hear with a cocktail in your hand or a joint in your mouth.
Yeah.
And although that music is still good music, it's got a different set of baggage now. So, you know, I need some music that is encouraging without being sappy, that's inspiring, but also realistic. It's been hard to find something I really want to listen to that isn't tied to a lot of past feeling.
You need to move forward, and you need some music that's got vitamin M.
Exactly. Nice. Well put.
Let me just explore that a little bit, because realistic sounds to me like you're not interested in like these fantasy tropes of, you know, I could swim the longest ocean, I could climb the highest mountain to overcome my troubles. You're looking about something more down to earth and day to day, as opposed to fantastical.
Yeah, like survivor music, not like inspirational in a hokey way. So,
yeah. Do you listen to the dark stuff at all, or have you just kind of ruled that out completely?
No, I mean, I still totally connect with all that other music, but it's just there's baggage. So I feel like I need something new and
right.
not necessarily released yesterday, but something new on my palate.
Well, that's what Sound Opinions exists for, Adam. Every week we'll give you a new dose. But I think in specific answer to your questions and with a prescription, Dr. Kot, have you got one?
I do. And it's interesting because I find myself going back to this particular song and this particular record over and over again the last couple of years because I'm going through my own dark period right now, Adam, and it has nothing to do with some of the stuff that you dealt with, but more of a social, political issue that I have, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just getting through a day and waking up in the morning and hearing the latest news is enough to put you in a deep, dark hole. And this music has helped me, I have to say, flat out. The song I want to recommend is Continental Breakfast by Courtney Barnett and Kurt Vile from their 2017 album, Lot of Sea Lice.
I cherish my intercontinental friendships. We talk it over continental breakfast in a hotel in East Bumble, wherever. Somewhere on the sphere. Around here.
You know, it's a song about friendship at the end of the day. It's not perfect. They don't sound like they're even interested in having all the lines rhyme, and their voices sound a little drawled and relaxed, and they're unconcerned about being perfect because they're around a friend. And you don't have to be a perfect around a friend. That relaxed feel really appeals to me. The song feels like the sun's out. There's a breeze. There's two friends hanging out drinking a cup of coffee. And they're swapping lines, they're swapping guitar lines. There's a wordless vocal in the middle where they're just sort of humming together. You know, it puts me in a great place. I feel like I got a smile on my face every time I listen to this song. You know, you can hear the fingers on the fretboard, you know, the guitars. It just sounds very intimate and very friend. You know, two friends talking to each other, and they're separated by this continent. You know, one lives in Australia, one lives in Philly, and they're just having this little conversation whenever they get together.
Don't you see? Guarded and sentimental.
And after all, it's just a rental.
Like better luck performing telekinesis on a priestess.
You won't believe what I might have, could have told you. But I wouldn't want to leave you tripping out over it. Okay, more so me, but...
or just me.
I think that sounds like a good instinct. And I think learning how to relax into either, you know, a friendship or the moment or, yeah, just like I think that's really the note I need to hit is like, how do I just say... wherever I'm at is okay.
All right. All right. Well, you know, you're going to listen to this, Adam, and then come back. And Dr. Cott and I have both been sued many times for malpractice, so it doesn't necessarily mean we're right here.
I'll call my lawyer.
Yeah, there you go. You know, Adam, I've got a recommendation for you. I actually have a multimedia recommendation, okay? Because I want you to both watch the film and listen to this song. Andrew Gill here, one of our producers, is the world's biggest Mountain Goats fan. And whenever we are approached with someone with this level of enthusiasm, you guys got to get hip to fill in the blank. You know, it's like, okay, make us the Spotify list, all right? And Andrew did, and he delivered. And my wife is the film editor at the Chicago Tribune. Her favorite movie of the year, one of them, was Minding the Gap, which is a documentary, was one of the best documentary Academy Award nominees. It lost, unfortunately. It is a wonderful film made by a kid, Bing Lu, and he grew up in Rockford. Not the Rockford we imagine of Cheap Trick, which is a nice suburban Illinois town, but a kind of a Rust Belt city that has seen better times and is really in the dumps now. And it's about his two friends who he must have filmed for a good decade, you know, who are skateboarders. And their lives are saved by two things, skateboarding and music. And the film is really inspiring without being sappy, because you said you're allergic to sap. And it builds to this absolutely triumphant conclusion with a song by the Mountain Goats called This Year.
I broke free on a Saturday morning. I put the pedal to the floor. Headed north on Mills Avenue. And listened to the
The Mountain Goats are ridiculously prolific. It's one of those catalogs where you're like, where do I start? You know, there's like two dozen albums. Where do I start? A good place is that 2005 record, The Sunset Tree. But this song in particular is really special this year. And I'll give you the one lyric that kills me, man. I am going to make it through this year if it kills me.
Six cylinders underneath the hood, crashing and kicking. Ah, listen to the engine whine. I am gonna make it through this year if it kills me. I am gonna make it through this year if it kills me.
Right? Because we've all been, you know, Kat is worried about the global socioeconomic thing. And you've been going through, you know, how do I climb out of this trauma? You know, and divorce is tough, man. I've been there, too. There's a lot of stuff on your head. Listen to this record. You're going to make it through, even if it kills you. And then you come back next week and tell us what you think of Dr. Kat's and my picks. What do you say?
If it doesn't kill me.
If it doesn't kill you, yeah.
I will. Thank you guys so much.
You're most welcome.
Let us welcome Adam back to Sound Opinions. Adam, you're still talking to us, that you're alive. Our prescriptions did not kill you.
No malpractice.
We're happy about that. How did they work for you?
There were two themes that I kind of got from the two songs. And the theme that I got from Continental Breakfast was just the importance of remembering that being vulnerable with friends is really key to just enjoying life, because that song is just so beautiful, and the way that they're just sharing with each other over the distance, and being disconnected and isolated is a big part of depression and struggle.
Swinging on its own, see it's just an inhabitant of some holy ghost.
Courtney Barnett and Kurt Vile, Continental Breakfast, from their 2017 album, A Lot of Sea Lice. I don't know if you happened to see the video for that song as well, Adam. But,
just watched it, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I love that video. I mean, I'm not a big video guy, you know, but that certain songs, the videos just seem so appropriate. My daughter, who lives in Germany, just texted me about that song in particular and that video, and she was just... Who's this Kurt Vile guy? And it was kind of like one of those. I think when you see it, you just have to smile. It just warms up your day. So it worked for you, right, Adam?
It did. And the other song too. I think maybe even more powerfully was the song "This Year" by the Mountain Goats. I mean, take away everything else and just put a refrain in my head that tells me I'm gonna make it through this year if it kills me.
Isn't that killer? I love that.
Money. Yeah, that was just the thing. I tried to play it every morning when I woke up, and later I dug deep into some of the lyrics, and there was another theme that came out of it, which is just that it's not just forever, you know. Make it through this year. And then the line about that we'll be feasting and dancing in Jerusalem next year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all right now.
There will be feasting and dancing in Jerusalem next year. I am gonna make it through this year if it kills me.
There's something later, and survival is something.
Yeah.
You know, living through it is something, definitely. Going to stay in the rotation. I think it's a good first thing in the morning, kick in the butt.
It's encouraging to know that music can still have that impact on people. It does impact our lives in that way, and I'm glad it worked for you as well, Adam. So thank you so much for the comments.
Thank you for sharing it, really. I think it's great to listen to your show and just to be able to get a new perspective. You guys listen to stuff like, I feel like I listen to all kinds of music, and you guys are always showing to me something new. So thank you guys a lot.
We've been talking to Adam, one of our Rock Doctors patients, who actually enjoyed our recommendations. Thanks so much, Adam.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
If you need musical help from the Rock Doctors, fill out a patient form at our website, soundopinions.org. And if you've got a song to recommend to Adam, call our hotline at 888-859-1800.
Hey, hey, got the vote for you.
That is a little bit of the song You're the Man by Marvin Gaye. Greg, the long-lost Marvin Gaye album of that same name, You're the Man, was supposed to come out almost 50 years ago. Never did. Of course, you and I have opinions about this record, but this particular record has an abnormal backstory, and we just happen to have the expert on this era of music on our production staff, Ayanna Contreras,
who moonlights as the host of Reclaim Soul on our home station WBEZ in Chicago. So we'll let Ayana explain why this record is only being released now, and then you and I will share our thoughts on the music. Ayana, take it.
Just in time for what would have been Marvin Gaye's 80th birthday, his long-shelved 1972 album, You're the Man, has been released by Motown Records. The record was initially scrapped because it was a victim of a lack of confidence on the parts of both Motown and Marvin. The lead single from the album, You're the Man, was a top 10 soul record in 1972. But unlike most of Gaye's previous offerings, it didn't cross over to the pop charts, which led Motown to think twice about releasing the rest of the material. Meanwhile, at the time of the recording, Marvin was heavily concerned with creating a strong follow-up to 1971's groundbreaking concept album, What's Going On. He was haunted by his own success. Marvin was also grieving due to the untimely death of his singing partner and friend, Tammy Terrell, who passed away in 1970 at the age of 24. Here's Marvin on Soul Train talking about that period in his life.
You know, Tammy and I recorded together years ago, and when we lost her, it affected me really quite psychologically, and I really didn't care to perform after that.
Fast forward to 2019, the album You're the Man, recorded after What's Going On, but before Let's Get It On, was shelved for almost 50 years. It's the thematic and musical missing link between those two blockbuster albums. Situated adjacent to the jazzy, Moog-drenched Trouble Man soundtrack, which was released in late 1972, You're the Man helps contextualize Marvin's canonical works of the 1970s. Luckily, this isn't just a case of greedy vault robbers messing with an artist's legacy. Marvin was on the record saying that he wanted this work released. In fact, a lot of it already has been. Four of the songs that have been released over the years as bonus cuts, alternate versions, or one-off singles rank among my favorite Marvin Gaye tracks of all time. The righteous political jam, You're the Man. The rollicking symphony. And We Can Make It, Baby. When the going's gonna get a little rough, which was a composition by Marvin Gaye that was initially released by the Originals in 1970. I know things happen rough. Hey, baby. And sometimes, little girl, the going is tough. If you stay with me, we can make it, baby. And then there's the song My Last Chance.
I think this is my last.
And the ultra-hip groover, The World Is Rated X, was also previously released on a post-mortem 1980s cash-in record. Both tracks bore unfortunate overdubbing of synthesizers in an attempt to update them. I'm happy to hear Rated X untouched and in context. Despite the fact that some of these tracks are available elsewhere, the opportunity for folks to hear a bunch of tracks that haven't seen the light of day by a genius at his peak, as well as the opportunity to hear some unduly rare cuts in their intended context, makes this album well worth your attention.
Well, thank you, Ayanna, and I would concur. It's definitely worth your time. I mean, we're talking about prime era Marvin Gaye. It was an incredibly fertile era for creativity in the Marvin Gaye camp at this time. So to get this entire record is a real gift. I do think it holds up quite well. I also understand why he may have had second thoughts about releasing it, although the single didn't achieve, you know, the ascendance on the pop charts that he had anticipated. I think it's still a very good song. I think the issue here for me was that this sounded like What's Going On Part 2 to an extent. There was an attempt to sort of piggyback on that record with a similar vibe and a similar sense of content, you know, the political vibe, the social political vibe, the arrangements sort of taking off on those orchestrated soul tracks that he was doing on What's Going On. I think it was wise of him to sort of put a little distance between this album and What's Going On. I think Let's Get It On turned out to be a brilliant move.
Yeah.
An almost 180 turn from what What's Going On was.
Away from the big worldview and into the boudoir.
Exactly. So he was very smart in the way that the sequencing of those albums went on. But I think the prime spot for You're the Man would have been after Let's Get It On came out in 1970. There was a window there of about 3 years between Let's Get It On and I Want You, which sort of begins the Marvin Gaye Lost in the Wilderness era.
Yeah,
you know, he's starting to figure things out here. He's going through a messy divorce, and I think maybe the timing might have been a little bit better for this record had it come out right before I Want You.
I can see that argument thematically as well, because You're the Man is very much in the what's going on political mode. Politics is turning us into lunatics.
Right.
Wow. And also, you know, hey, 2019, better late than never, and boy, is that resonant today.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get to a track like The World is Rated X, or You Are the Special One, which are very much also in the let's get it on mode.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, you know, all politics is personal, and nobody does personal love better than Marvin Gaye, right? I can see this bringing those two sounds together. Would it have held up as well if it was released originally? I don't know, but rare in the history of popular music is the great lost album. First of all, nothing's lost anymore.
Right.
Right. You know, everything is available on the net. But rare is the great lost album that actually lived up to the hype. I think, you know, Prince's Black Album is fine, but it doesn't live up to the hype.
Right.
Brian Eno's My Squelchy Life, even Brian Eno. But I think, wow, this is instantly in my top six or seven favorite Marvin Gaye albums.
Mm-hmm. It's a great record.
Greg, what is on the show next week?
Jim, next week we are going to revisit our conversation with Moby on the occasion of the release of his first book, now that his second book is about to come out.
Moby, a prolific author now, as well as musician. For more Sound Opinions, listen to our podcast wherever you find such things. As always, the show was produced by Brendan Banasak, Alex Claiborne, Ayanna Contreras, and Andrew Gill.
Echo Valley 26809. I used to call that number all the time, but the last time that I called you, we hung up crying.
On Sound Opinions, everyone's a critic, so give us a call on our hotline, 888-859-1800.
New messages. I wasted my youth.
Hello, this is Alan Arkish from Los Angeles, California. Your review of Jenny Lewis, it really pleased me. Just back in 1989, Jenny was a young actress on a TV series that I was producing and directing called Shannon Field. She was 14 years old, and she was very serious about her acting, and started bringing guitar to the set, and I was really impressed how serious she was about her music. So over the next two seasons, we talk music all the time and share our favorites. And I made her many, many mixtapes. I have hundreds of them. And glad to have introduced her to Velvet Underground, among many others. Jenny's the real thing. It was really nice to hear that you guys are just as much in love with her music as I am. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Bill. I'm calling from Granville, Ohio. I really appreciated the songs in your True Crimes podcast, but I think we forget that a lot of times the crimes are being committed by the people who are supposed to be keeping us safe. And so I was thinking of Bob Dylan's Hurricane and the ways in which Hurricane Carter was framed. But the song that I would really like to hear you play is Janelle Monáe, Hell You Talkin' 'Bout. As more and more innocent, unarmed black men are gunned down, we have to pay attention to where all the sources of the crime are coming from and hold accountable the police and people who are supposed to be keeping us safe. Thank you.
Hey, guys. I'm a Jamaican, Dr. Wilson, in Moncton, New Jersey, and I am one of those folks who found myself in exile, self-imposed exile from around that period. But the piece of music, Police and Peace, reminded me so much about the political climate that destroyed Jamaica's thriving economy at the time.
Police and peace in the street. Oh, yes.
Later on, after we left, Bob Marley was also coming out with Exodus, which was also a response to the mass migration of all of us who felt threatened at the time. But now it is really amusing just listening back. You guys are wonderful. It's a wonderful piece. Thank you very much. Bless you.
Hey, Jim and Greg, this is Greg from Las Vegas, and love the shoegaze episode. Was wondering, does Jesus and Mary Chain fall into that category? Actually saw them at, I want to say, the Cabaret Metro 1,000 years ago, and they played with their back to the audience, and we were like, what? Anyways, love the show, man. Keep it up. Talk to you soon.
No more messages.
To share your opinions on Sound Opinions, call 888-859-1800. We'll be back next week on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and distributed by PRX.